I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of VGC, a video game podcast. We are back with the spoiler cast for Spider-Man 2. The game has now been out for 1 week, and according to the internet, it's very short, so you must have completed it by now. We're going to be talking over everything that happens in the end of the game, the end of the various side missions, and what we expect from a Spider-Man 3. I'm joined by mostly the same Spider friends from our review. We've got from Gaming Bible, Ewan Moore. We've got from The Gamer, Stacey Henley.
Hello.
We've got from Accessibility, Laura Kate Dale. And he snuck in from the land of PC games in, despite the fact that this is a proper game, so it wasn't released on PC. We've got Will Nelson.
Now, good to see you.
First question, and we're going to go straight into it. There's about 50 different endings to talk about here, so let's maybe go in order of when you are likely to encounter them. I'm going to go first to you, Ewan, and your spiffy green turtleneck. Doc Ock, is he the big baddie for Spider-Man 3? Not Doc Ock, Green Goblin.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it was always going that way. For me, from the start of the game, I kind of assumed that, well, something's going to happen to Harry, that Norman is going to blame Spider-Man and or Peter for, and that's going to lead to a reckoning in the third game. He's the Spider-Man villain, really, isn't he? And I really like that Insomniac have really taken their time with this one. They've really built up that relationship between them. So when he does finally, you know, lose his mind and strap on that green mask, it's going to get real. And I'm very, very excited to see where that goes.
This is one of my questions as well. Do they go for a Raimi-style suit of armor, or do they make him look more goblin-y? Do they make him look like 80s comics? Where do you think they take it, Ewan?
I hope they go with the sort of the suit and the sort of the gadgets with the serum just kind of enhancing his abilities. I've never been a big fan of the Hulk out version of Green Goblin that we see in like Ultimate Spider-Man and stuff like that. I just think it's less interesting that he's a raging monster because, yes, obviously he's not in possession of his full faculties when he's the Green Goblin, but the point is that he is still like calculating and manipulative, and he doesn't just like smash through buildings in a blind rage.
Lord of, we get pumpkin bombs in our future.
I think we go that route. I think we go the like mechanical route with all the sort of tech gadgets. It's sort of the way that they've been really leaning Peter's arc in this. Like everything with Doc Ock was Peter is very good at tech. In this, all of the interactions with Harry Osborn are he's good at science, he knows his tech. I feel like we keep that theme running. One thing about Green Goblin being in the sequel that's like really struck me, and it only hit me the other day when I replayed the opening, was the very first conversation in this game is Harry saying, hey, if this doesn't work or something goes wrong when this symbiote is put into me, take me out. Kill me if... Like, the very first thing he says is, Dad, kill me if this goes wrong.
Yeah.
And that... being where the game ends is really interesting for thinking about where the, you know, presumably a sequel is going to be very much about him resenting Spider-Man killed my son when your son explicitly told you if this goes wrong, this is what he wants. And I'm curious how that'll go. It seems interesting.
Stacey, where do you think they take it for three, specifically regarding Green Goblin? Just as an aside, there is a bit in the game where you go through like an area, and I think it might be Scorpion's costume or something like that, but the first time you saw it was like an all green kind of suit of armor, and I was like, is part of the story going to be that he's just grabbed this costume since Scorpion's dead and now he's Goblin?
I think, you know, Insomniac, especially with Spider-Man, but really all throughout every game they've made, have always been quite crowd-pleasing. They've always been quite camp. They've kind of leaned into the humor that Spider-Man has, a lot of just the quips, the presentation of things. It never gets to be, you know, if you look at some of the original comic books going back, they were massively over-the-top costume. I think we'll ever see that in a kind of photorealistic game like this. Yeah. But I don't think they'll kind of lean away. I don't think there would be a meeting in the Insomniac kind of studios where they'd say, Pumpkin Moms are too silly. I don't think that's the way they'll go after Green Goblin. I think if they felt that parts of the kind of cartoonishness of Goblin was too much, they wouldn't have spent two games setting up Goblin. They would have gone for any of the other villains that they could have done. They've deliberately tried to ground Norman as a pretty down-to-earth guy, you know, kind of evil in a kind of businessman kind of way, but he's cares for his son. He wants to make money. He's not some colossal... you know, I agree with you, like some hulked out monster that just breaks through things and doesn't think about things wouldn't work for this character. They've spent two games establishing that this guy's got quite a few shades of grey to him. And I think they need to play into that a little bit. Like, I don't really care for No Way Home as much as other people do, but I think a little bit like the two personalities that we saw in that with Willem Dafoe is probably the way that they're going to go. And they do love the MCU. Like, Insomniac loves the MCU. All the suits are MCU suits.
Well, do you think that we will burst into a burning building and the Green Goblin will be there with a wee old woman's shawl on, or what do you think?
Yeah, and then it melts to him, so he's got like a purple and green outfit. His outfit's basically going to be the Raimi one, I imagine, because all of the other villain outfits in the game are that sort of like, not mechanical, but like, you know, motorcycle suit, like techie sort of design. Yeah. So he's probably going to go with that, and he'll do his cackling and all of the good stuff. But I really enjoyed... his relationship with Peter, actually, where there's the bit in the roughly in the middle where they do that really weird like sitcom level thing where he's having a conversation with Peter and Harry Osborn just so happens to be around the corner and hear the one bit he shouldn't hear, where he says, like, he says to Peter, he says, "You're a son, you're like a son to me," and Harry just so happened only to hear that bit and then walk away. But I think there's going to be a really good dynamic between Norman and Peter, and then the Green Goblin and Spider-Man, and seeing if they cross those things over, or they probably will, how they do that as well, because they did that really well with Harry in like the base game as well, like him and his dad and stuff. So I'd really be interested to see where they take it.
Stacey, do you think Harry's dead in the third one, or do you think he's a second act return?
It would be a shame, because I think we talked about this last time when we were trying not to spoil things, but the way they wrote Harry in this one, he seemed far more connected to Peter than he has in the comics, certainly the James Franco version. So I think if they do kill him off, I think it would need to be a game that was once more built really around Peter. I think we all kind of feel this game was built a lot around Peter, and there's Miles just a lot of the side stuff. I would like to see that develop in the third game away a little bit more. You know, the ending, Peter kind of passes the torch a little bit. So I think it probably depends on what they do with Peter in the sequel. If they're going to make this Peter's game and also Miles is there, then I think they have to really focus on the relationship with Harry. I think if it's more Miles is kind of taken over as Spider-Man, but Peter has this kind of unfinished business that possibly even brings him back into the suit. He starts the game kind of retired, and then Goblin happens, Peter comes back. Then I think that's when you would want to play around with what it means for Harry a bit more.
Yeah, as you say, at the end of the game, it's very much Peter and MJ are in Aunt May's house. He's letting Miles be New York's only Spider-Man again for a while. Ewan, when we start, and I suppose this ties into speculation about a 2.5, do you think we start Spider-Man 3 and it's just a Miles game for a while, or are they going to keep the swapping throughout?
I think that's a really interesting question. I reckon that we will start as purely Miles. I don't think that you'd bring Peter back into the fold in a spin-off game or a 2.5 game. Don't think that works if you want it to be this really big moment, sort of Spider-Man stepping back in to face the Green Goblin or Doc Ock or whoever it ends up being. What I will say as a quick aside is it did strike me as quite funny that the game ends with Peter retiring, and then like straight away you can jump back in as him and swing around the city. Like, okay, Cool.
We've got spider bots to collect, mate. We've got we've got gardens to fix randomly.
He's got to pay for Aunt May's house somehow. Yeah. Now he's not got a job. He's starting up the Emily May Foundation again, and MJ is like an independent podcaster. It's like, where are they getting that money from for that house?
The independent podcasting. That's where all the money is.
Yeah. I was honestly expecting MJ to thank BetterHelp as the sponsor of today's episode, but. VGC podcast is certainly not sponsored. Oh, we might be, to be honest. I don't know. I don't pick the ads. It'll be the British Navy or something. Laura, now that we can talk about it in full gruesome detail, if we do get a 2.5, where do you think it goes?
I've been thinking about this a lot. I think there's a couple of routes you go with it. If they want to do like a Venom game that is specifically like, hey, we go into that Eddie Brock symbiote story, because I know a lot of people were going, this isn't who I associate with the symbiote, and there's a lot of people who had a lot of fun with the clearly well-created full big angry mode Venom combat powers in this. You could make a thing out of that. You could do something that's a little tonally different. I feel like a lot of the other plot threads they set up in this make most sense as either DLC or Game 3. A lot of the endings make sense as Game 3 or DLC. I think the only other option I see is you do a Miles Morales-specific game, and you do another like Miles Morales-style 2.5 to emphasize like this. He is the only Spider-Man for a while, to build up to that return of Peter in 3. But I think that would be a shame to do. I don't want to set the expectation that you only get to play as Miles in the 2.5s, or like Miles' story gets to be the focus in the 2.5s, and that's why I kind of hope that they go something like an Eddie Brock story.
Yeah, and Stacey, we didn't talk about it at the time. The Venom section, you play as Venom, it's smashing and crashing. It's very Xbox 360 game. It felt like to me, it was like that Hulk game it reminded me of. Do you think, and we reference it in the podcast, we say you don't build that unless you're going to do something with it. Do you think they make a side game of that?
I said before that Insomniac are very much crowd pleaser, so people want them to. I don't want them to. I think we have enough time playing as Venom. I think it works very specifically in the moment, because someone needs to kill Kraven, right? Yeah. They can't be Peter, can't be Miles. Having it be Venom and having you play as Venom, you get to kind of be Harry as he loses control. It's not just some horrible freak that happens. You cause the destruction. It's a little bit like, it's obviously a much more cartoonish version, but it's a little bit like in The Last of Us when it's like, no, you need to bash him in the head with a pipe.
Yeah.
You're not just going to watch this play. You're going to do it. And there's no way around it. You can just put the cut game and never come back to it. You have to play as Venom to get through. But I think that gives it a lot of weight. I think if you just did, here's a character you've never met, go and smash a city for 10 hours, I just think it tears down a lot of what was built.
I agree with you if that's all they do with it. I didn't picture it being that the whole way through, but I have just remembered the other thing that would be a really interesting gameplay mechanic, which is if they offered the I've forgotten her name entirely.
Haley.
Going through the portals.
Black Cat.
Yes. That Black Cat combat system that with like attacking through portals was way too cool to not do something with.
Mission of the year. Mission of the fucking year. That is for those unaware, that is the mission in the podcast that I referenced about going through to the room and acting out for my girlfriend. I would like to play maybe like maybe an hour or two more of that Venomy stuff, but as you say, like it'd be a bit of a flex. Bit of a flex to just be like, okay, that's it. Like leave it as a good memory, not like, oh, I'm just doing the same thing.
It's over and also over. Funny because there's like we were saying, there's like a Lord of the Rings number of endings to this game.
Yeah.
There's nothing for Venom. The symbiote just gets like vaporized, and there's nothing. Like, there's so many other things that they lead to that it's like, if they did Venom, they would have to change, like, as a game, they'd have to change so much about the character and then be like, oh, there's another, well, there is another sim. We'll get to it, I'm sure. But, like, the idea of Venom himself, I don't think, it's not that they can't bring him back, but they don't tease it like they tease everything else. So I don't see, it's definitely not in their plans before they finished it, while they've got a lot of other things they're clearly thinking about.
It's tricky because every other ending feels way too much like it's set up to be like, we're immediately going to do it now, or it's a big thing for next game. There's nothing else that really feels like
DLC a, and what's
yeah like a,
I think the Cletus stuff would probably be DLC and Miles might be a 2.5 and then Goblin is 3 you would think, but yeah, again, I don't know, could do it in any order.
Goblin and Doc Ock as like a 1-2 punch for the villains of 3 seems like the way to go. We've referenced that a wee bit, so the flame side missions with the returning Yuri, who is now Wraith, terrible haircut, really disappointed in our haircut in this game. Our hair in the first game was fantastic, but we move. You are tracking down this cult. The leader of this cult, though not named, is very likely the man who will become Carnage. You see a little bit of the red symbiote. Ewan, is Carnage too big to make a 2.5 or a DLC, or is Carnage another enemy that deserves, like, say, like a Kraven amount of like a 2/3 of the game?
So I just want to go on record and say I fucking hate Carnage. So as soon as I realised who it was in the Flameside mission, I was just like, oh, here we go. I do agree, though, that I think Carnage is too big of a villain for a DLC. I think Chameleon is much better suited for the sort of DLC missions that I think we're almost inevitably going to get for Marvel Spider-Man 2. I think if we do get a Venom spin-off, then Carnage is the sort of clear character there, because you can't really have Carnage without Venom. How exactly you do that, given that Harry is quite literally in a coma, I have no idea. But I do think that you can't have him as DLC, and you can't just throw Carnage into the mix with Doc Ock and Green Goblin as well. Yeah. That's just, I do think that's too much, unless you're making a 60-hour game, and I hope
yeah. It would literally have the Raimi Spider-Man 3 problem of just like launching villains in Heather and Yon. Stacey, how do you think the Wraith stuff and the Carnage stuff reemerges going forward?
I think it's difficult, because if you want to do, I think they will do DLC for this one because they set so much up, but it brings a much bigger version of the problem that we've just talked about at the end of the game. If Peter's retired, is the DLC going to be just Miles, or can it go back and be Peter kind of maybe mini come out of retirement for Carnage because he knows Yuri so well? I think the problem the DLC, whatever it is, the problem the DLC is going to have is how do they balance either bring Peter back in or having a Jizri Miles and justifying that to the players who have bought a Peter Parker game, which I think Insomniac and Sony are very mindful of, or, you know, bringing Miles back into it when the Flame is specifically Peter missions. There's some side missions that you have to do as one of the two characters, and as the Flame, you have to do it as Peter, which makes sense because of Wraith. So I think, I just said I don't want a Venom side game, but I do think Carnage in there makes it a more appealing prospect.
Yeah, it is weird because the way that it goes, it's not as if you could roll time back to make the DLC fit, like, oh, do these missions before you do the last mission and it'll be fine. Like, it's all very,
yeah,
this is what happens next. I personally think if the DLC has to be very Miles focused, just because I think you lose the impact of that moment in the third game where Miles is about to die and then you see the red suit coming in and it's like, okay, let's fucking go. I think the only real thread they leave for Miles for the DLC would be the Cindy Moon stuff, which is the character that is the daughter of Rio Morales' boyfriend. In the comics, she is Silk, who was bitten by the same spider as Peter, etc. and so on, but they obviously don't show her face, but you assume she's like a teenager in this universe, so maybe she doesn't go full Silk. Yeah, Laura, how do they sort this? They've left us far too much.
I think they... I keep being, every time I think I've nailed down what would make sense for DLC, what for 2.5, there's a very good reason why it shouldn't work. I don't think this is necessarily going to be the case, but I want to throw something out there. I have realized we do have one other ending that is probably most associated with Miles, and that's the one for the Spider-Bots.
Yeah.
Because most people, like, you know, we had the live action, you know, all of the Spider-Man meet-up movie, but if you say Spider-Verse, people think Miles Morales.
Definitely.
And I don't know if you can do a self-contained, like, 2.5 story that is a Spider-Verse-style story. I don't know if that waits to be, like, Game 4 or something, but that is a thing that could be a Miles story. And I'm throwing that out there as a thought, but, yeah, it is a real mess thinking about that fact that you have to keep Peter out of the picture for a while for that to hold any kind of substance.
Yeah. Just the reference there, if you collect all the spider bots, which are collectibles throughout the world, they reference like other costumes, other characters, and if you collect all of them, the last part of the mission is a portal opens up to the villain's bar from the most recent Spider-Verse film, which, looking into it more, this scene is like based off a post-credit scene from Across the Spider-Verse that didn't happen, like they ended up cutting. Yeah. There's references to Miguel, who's Spider-Man 2089. But as soon as that happened, I was obviously like, oh my god, they're going to do Spider-Verse. But then when you think about it for 2 seconds, like, that's way, way, way too much for DLC, and that would completely derail a third game. Well, is this just, oh, that's cool, that connects the PS5 games further to the rest of the MCU or whatever? Basically, is it just tying in, or does it
become a thing? Say so, because you're right, there's already so much going on that Insomniac Spider-Man, or a version of the character in the suit, is in, yeah, is in both the suits in the first Spider-Verse and the characters in the second
one.
I don't see them doing, I think it's just a neat little thing, because it's all Sony. I think they were just like, oh, this will be a nice ending to a side quest. I think it's too much on top of everything else. It's like, you've got so many other characters. Imagine if halfway through a Miles game or DLC or 3, it's like, and now there's multiple universes. It's like the Avengers are in this universe, and we don't even see them. So, like, doing a multiverse, it's like, I think there's already so much going on that Insomniac have set up themselves, and then to just be like, we'll just do Spider-Verse or whatever, something to that effect. It doesn't cheapen it, but it doesn't really feel like it fits, really, with what they've been doing. I think it's just a nice, fun thing. And as you said, if it is based off, like, a post-credit scene that got cut, it might just be Sony went to Insomniac and were like, do you want to do this for a side?
Yeah.
And you're just like, yeah, it'd be fun, because, you know, we're referencing the film, so we'll reference the film in the game, which is, it's cool. It's a nice thing.
I do agree with you, it's unlikely, but I have just had the thought of, if anyone was going to make a Spider-Verse game, Insomniac are very good at those fast-loading portals where you go between different worlds, and that would be a really good mechanic for a Spider-Verse game.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Thanks, right. Ratchet & Clank. See what you've done.
I just think you would have to, like, Stacey, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe we're all wrong. Maybe we're thinking about this too linearly, and we think there's going to be a 2.5 and then a 3. What if it's just there's 2, and then there's basically 2 games of like a full size? Like, what do you think about the Spider-Verse thing? Cool fan service or an actual setup?
I think just cool fan service. I mean, the thing is, it's a big part of Spider-Verse the movies that there's one Miles. Lots of other types of Peters, but there's Miguel and Miles, and everyone else is just some kind of riff on Peter. Even Gwen Stacy is connected specifically to her own Peter. So I think that's something that, obviously, with... This isn't the spoiler cast for Spider-Verse, so I won't spoil any of that, but I think the third Spider-Verse movie will explore the idea of different Mileses. So I don't know how the game meshes in with that. Usually movies are much quicker to make than games, but with how quick Insomniac make games and with how slow the Spider-Verse movies are to make, I think that's probably flipped this time around. And they don't know about the Spider-Verse, right? Like, I took Miles to the end of that thing, so I haven't seen what happens if you take Peter, but I don't think either of them are kind of aware
Miles
of it.
I think Miles has to do it. I think it's a Miles... only ending? I might be wrong.
Oh, is it just Miles?
I went there with Miles, and I thought I had to.
I went there with Miles because I played as Miles for most of the side missions. But like, if Peter is already there, or Peter's suit is already there in the movie, then if Peter doesn't know about this, which you'd think he would have mentioned when they were collecting these robots to like link to another dimension, then the games might be set well before Spider-Verse. As we know it, the actual Spider-Verse story saga as we know it might be set, you know, before Miles's... the movie's Miles is Peter dies. I think you then bring in so many timeline things. I think if they did a Spider-Verse game with the portals, that would be something in the future that they just do Spider-Verse. Not the Miles that we know, not any of the stories that we know, just he has a Spider-Verse game and the pig's back, and just do it in that way rather than trying to make it part of the story. Yeah.
Ewan, what did you think? Because personally, it was a very high of being like, oh my god, they're going to do this, and then a bit of a realization of how the world works.
Yeah, so, I mean, I completely agree with everyone in that Spider-Verse is too big to do anytime soon. I do think it's almost certain that Insomniac is going to do a Spider-Verse game at some point, but I think we're talking like quite a way down the road. I mean, if even PlayStation 5, like, who knows? I think the issue for me, and it's the same with all of you guys, is that it takes away from the very personal struggles that Peter and Miles have already had and that they're building up to. And if you suddenly have all these multiversal characters and you're talking about the Web of Destiny and all this bollocks, it's like, what are we doing? Can we get back to the story we're trying to tell? So I certainly hope that it doesn't happen. And I think there are lots of other ways that Insomniac will be able to have fun with the idea of portals and that ridiculous flexing tech they've got. They'll find other ways to do that that don't necessarily involve the multiverse.
Yeah. And also you could potentially see like a collectible in Spider-Man 3 being Miles trying to learn more about this. Miles and Genki being like, oh, what the fuck's going on here? Let's find like pieces of other...
That seems to be the right size for a DLC. If we're getting on things that would be small enough, they could actually do just discovering about the Spider-Verse. That would make sense for it just to just be Miles. It wouldn't need to tie up any huge plot threads. It would be interesting because everyone loves Spider-Verse, so...
I'm actually going to work for Insomniac. I'm proud to announce that I'm leaving this mortal video game coil.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, question. They're a lot bolder about referencing other Marvel characters in this game. They're painting a 4 on the roof of one of the buildings. They're being pretty much as obvious as they can be. They're like, maybe we get more people in here. Do you think more prominent Marvel characters show up in the third one, even if it's for a mission, even if it's just a bit and a piece? Why do they not excuse the Avengers not being in this one when they do it in the first one?
So, like, the first thing is it's all about licensing, isn't it? Like, in the comics, it's easy, but Marvel sold off all the licenses for different things, and a lot of it's under Disney these days. But I think just the idea of getting the Avengers or even Daredevil or any street-level heroes in the game, it's just a logistical nightmare. But I would love to see it, like, Web of Shadows style, like, when Wolverine just shows up in that. And, I mean, who else is in? I think Moon Knight's in that game as well. Like, just, like, get some street-level heroes in. Like, you don't want, like, Captain America or Iron Man showing up and like helping out with a Green Goblin threat. They probably should have helped out with Venom because it's like the world was about to end and there's just nowhere to be seen. But you know, way that way.
Yeah. I agree. They can. I feel like they could show up and not. They could show up for a mission and then go. Like they don't have to be. I mean, the Murdoch Detective Agency in this game, they've been evicted. If you go to it, like on the door, it says been evicted. There's the Wakandan embassy. There's obviously the Fantastic Four tower. There's the Avengers tower. All that crap. Ewan, does the rest of the Marvel characters just stay as like a nice like bit of immersion to be like superheroes exist in this world, but let's not introduce all of these guys? Or do you think we actually get more interaction? Like I thought it was great that I mean he doesn't show up, but Wong has an influence on like the Black Cat mission.
Yeah,
look, I mean, I think one of the most boring things you can do is when someone smugly sort of says, like, oh, well, where didn't the Avengers help? Or, like, in the Batman games, it's like, oh, where was Superman? It's like, I don't know, off-world, or, like, saving another planet, or there's one of a thousand things they could be doing that doesn't require them to be in this specific place. Like, just, yeah, it's just boring, man. Like, just use your imagination for 5 seconds. Like, I much prefer just seeing little teasers and hints. Like, you know, the Fantastic Four logo being painted on. And I don't know if this is true, but someone pointed out on Twitter that it was the Fisk Tower. So I read
It? Okay.
The Fantastic Four bought Fisk Tower. I think that's really fun.
They do say it was sold at the end of the first game. I think it was always thought to be a tease of, are they going to make it the Fantastic, because it's got the kind of the similar outlook. So they have teased that two games in a row, so that one could make sense.
But yeah, like I agree with Will that it would be fun to see a few more street-level superheroes. Like, you know, imagine playing Marvel Spider-Man 3 and you swing down to stop a crime and you see like Daredevil in the same way that you'd see Wraith in this game. I think that would be fantastic. But I don't think you need to see these guys constantly. You don't need to be reminded that they're there. It's a Spider-Man game. It's, Spider-Man in it. Like,
they're doing Wolverine though, aren't they? So we're going to have the obligatory, if he doesn't turn up in like Spider-Man 3, the internet will just be like, where's Wolverine? Where's Wolverine? It was just like, oh, for goodness sake. He's in Canada. He's in a lodge, just like smoking a cigar and drinking whiskey. He doesn't care. He's not bothered.
The Wolverine thing was the thing I was thinking about. Is I was like, is this them teasing that they're sat on the fact that they've gotten the Fantastic Four license and they're not going to put them in Spider-Man, but they're going to do a Fantastic Four game? Like, I don't think you try and shoehorn in Fantastic Four into Spider-Man, but like, they're about the right size of team that I could see, like, oh yeah, Insomniac's Fantastic Four coming a few years after Wolverine.
And it's a live service game!
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to be four player, probably, I would imagine.
I mean, I could see Insomniac doing incredible stuff with a Fantastic Four game, like, through different realities and universes, and, oh, yeah, you've put an idea in my head now, Laura.
We're getting to a stage in the Marvel game universe, the MGU, as I'd like to coin it, that we are going to have to juggle a lot of what exists in the same universe. I thought that Guardians of the Galaxy game did it pretty well, where it, like, when you're walking through the bit and you reference this to the rest of them, but like, is EA's Iron Man game going to exist in this universe? Is the Black Panther game going to exist in this universe? Like, how tangled up do we get with it? Obviously, there's the concept of the different, like, Earths and stuff like that, but I think that this third game's already going to be 200 hours long. I don't think we need to, we're not running out of ideas yet. We don't need to get, like, the rest of the teams in. Like, one or two missions, brilliant. In the same way that Black Cat mission was perfect in the sense that it's one mission. It's like, you come upon Doctor Strange's house, and if you know, it's like, okay, this is going to be something cool. But it doesn't need to be, like, the last battle doesn't need to be 500 people there or whatever.
Just can't imagine, Kieran.
It'd be too much.
Like, who would have had more fun if that final battle against Venom just Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man show up? Yeah. Like, oh, game's over. Yeah. Who would want that? Who wants that?
And then
in
it's
game?
Like, okay, world-ending threat, and then it's Rio Morales' boyfriend. I'm definitely invested in this little bit of human drama between Cindy Moon, and that's the other thing. So the Cindy Moon thing, just to go back to it. I don't think that ends up with us playing as Silk in the third one. I'm not even sure she would become Silk by the third one. So when that door opened, I was certain he was going to go, "Hi, my name's John Stacy. Here's my daughter Gwen." Like, I could not believe that's not where they went with that, just because it's like Gwen Stacy is the, like, if you're doing a Spider-Man, like, that's Spider-Man Kids TV show. It's like, it's Spider-Man, it's Peter, it's Miles, and it's Gwen Stacy. Like, Stacy. And not just because your name is Stacy, but... Yeah. Do we play as three different people in the third one? And if we do, who's the third Spider-Man's?
I have a theory that is almost certainly wrong, but I enjoy it. I'm going to tell you it in full anyway. I think, as you have alluded to, Cindy was bitten by the same spider as Peter. And then, because it was the noughties, they kind of... have a lot of spider sex. They aren't going to do that arc this time. So I think it's going to be the same spider that bit Miles, because we don't really know how any of these people got powers. So I think they're going to have a far more wholesome connection to each other, which I think then sets up, they've teased for a long time that they aren't going to do Gwen Stacy. They haven't brought her in now. They don't have a connection to her. They haven't gone the Spider-Verse route. They aren't going to split up Miles, and so they aren't going to split up Peter and MJ. It's just a whole thing about how she's left her job as a very well-paid reporter to do a podcast.
And she's opened a Patreon as well.
So I think Haley is our Spider-Gwen. I think we play as Haley. She has obviously the very... She's deaf, so she has that unique mechanic. Wednesdays is that people know from the TV show and from the movies very connected to music, so I think you can invert that very well with Haley. And I think playing as, if you want to build it around Miles and make it big enough that it feels bigger than Miles and Peter. I think if you go from Peter and Miles to just Miles, I think people will rightly or wrongly see that as a downgrade, because Peter Parker is probably the most famous superhero on the planet. And to get rid of him for a new guy that's kind of popular from one cartoon movie probably isn't as good a sell. I think you need to bring another character. So playing as three Spider people, having it be Haley, Cindy, and Miles, is very in line with Insomniac's whole deal. They're very youthful. They have a lot of creative spins on characters. Obviously, Finn in the Miles Morales spinoff was reinvented as this far more youthful character. So I would really like to see them explore Miles and Haley's connection that's grown over the past couple of games. And really, they've both been positioned as outsiders in various ways. And I think if you then bring in Cindy and Miles having the connection, the spidery connection, and Haley and maybe even initially being on the outside of that, you get into some far more interesting relationship dynamics. And you don't need Iron Man to show up to make that interesting. That can just be an interesting thing. I think it would be a really big thing to convince Sony, can we please get rid of Peter Parker and we're going to let you play as this Black Death girl? I don't think Sony go for that.
I agree. If I'm honest. I want that so much. Like, Haley is such a good character in this. And like, little side tangent, I am so happy with so much around how they handled Haley in this. Things we couldn't talk about before review. The section where she's playable does a really good job of representing how hearing aids actually work and what they do and don't convey, because people just treat them as hearing amplifiers. Stuff like the way that communication is done, where like, oh, this person does not speak sign language and you are just getting like, I can tell this is what they're feeling. I don't know the words of what's going on. Like, so many things from that to like the text to speech for like being able to have conversations with Miles while swinging. So many really good little touches where I'm like, you've put so much love into this character. I would love to see them be a like proper playable central protagonist.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a it's a good show, and I think it would be great. As you say, I think maybe the logistics of doing that would be difficult, just because like it's asking Sony to, and plus the, can you imagine Twitter, Jesus Christ, but the asking Sony to trade blonde, white, undercut Gwen Stacy for a Black Death girl. But I think that's the way to do it. And unless you're like, okay, third game, right, we're starting off now. We've got to sort out Doc Ock, Green Goblin, Cindy Moon stuff. We've also got to do Carnage, the Spider-Verse. And here's Gwen, by the way. Here's a new character, Gwen. Like, it's too much. I also think it's comforting for us to think, oh, well, they're going to do a 2.5 and then the 3 will be like a conclusion or something like that. But I'm honestly considering how well these games are received and how rapid Insomniac seems to be getting them out, I don't think 3 is any type of ending. I think we keep going. Well, what is immediately next for the Insomniac Spider-Man games? Is it DLC for 2? Is it a 2.5? Or do we go quiet until 3? Addendum question, does 3 come out, and I think this is the case based on things I've heard, 3 out the year after Wolverine, which is seemingly going to be a 2025 game?
Potentially. I think there's going to be DLC. I think the difference is the first game had the 3 DLCs, and they were announced before the game came out, I believe. Yes. We've not had any news on DLC. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I imagine if they're going to do DLC, they'll do something different. But I see a 2.5 with Miles and Cindy, and I don't necessarily think that means Cindy's going to get powers in that one. But they've introduced Cindy Moon. She's becoming Silk at some point. Like, you wouldn't do it and not give her the powers. But I think, yeah, we're going to get like the sort of a version of the first game where instead of it being Peter and Miles, it's Miles and Silk, and as you say, and Haley as well. I think that is at least what because they make so much money, and they've sold like what, almost 3 million copies in like a day. I don't see why they don't just go, let's do a Miles game on the same bigger map, shorter, but more condensed, and not have Peter in it because he's retired or whatever they're going to do with that. I don't know why they put it at the end, and then if they're going to do DLC, it's a whole thing. But not have Peter in it, maybe have him in like a cutscene or at the end or whatever. And then 3, they'll do bring him back and do the big goblin stuff and Doc Ock. But outside of that, I don't know. I don't actually think a Venom game's going to happen, really. Maybe. It could do, but you got to play as him, and it served the story well. You'd have to change so much about the character, and it might just end up being like, oh, it's a slightly bigger Spider-Man and it's Eddie Brock. It's a completely new character that we'd not set up. And
It'd end up being like Prototype or something like that. Like,
just, oh my god, doesn't... imagine Prototype, but with Venom.
Yeah. I mean, God rest you, Prototype. But yeah, I think that Insomniac are good at just giving the right amount. People think they want more, but I don't think they do. I think they want a game where they're like smashing and crashing and destroying things. Guess what? You will get that with Wolverine. Mm-hmm. I feel like Insomniac making a Venom game right next to Wolverine would be a bit like, what's the point here? What are we bothering with? Laura, what's next on the schedule for big Insomniac?
Yeah, I feel like we get DLC for this. Probably maybe not as many sets of DLC as the first one did. I don't think the fact it hasn't been announced yet disqualifies it from happening, given that the state of this game is a whole bunch of like settings aren't going to be in the game until like 2 months post-launch. It really feels like they hit the ground like right as that game finished in some ways. And I think just, you know, give them a minute. But I think we probably do see some kind of DLC next year, Wolverine the year after, Spider-Man 3 the year after that, maybe, feels about the pace that this company seems to be on.
And then Ratchet and Clank is somewhere in there, somewhere. That's
coming. There's middle, 2.5 the year after Wolverine and then Spider-Man 3 the year after that. They've got so much that it seems like they're going to do.
Honestly, mate, see if they came out at the Game Awards and they're like, we've got the new Ratchet. It'll be ready in June. It's just like, yeah, of course you do. Not surprised. I think Insomniac have firmly put themselves right in the kind of Naughty Dog tier of like, this is like PlayStation's main studio, but unlike Naughty Dog, it doesn't take them 45 years to make a game. So PlayStation very clearly, ball seems to be in their court, they can do whatever they want. Stacey, do you think that now that we have somewhat of an expectation of this 2.5 game, do you think it would be too much to do DLC for 2 and a 2.5 game, or do they just, what do they do next? If you're calling the tactics board, what do you do next?
I think the thing, we're kind of discussing all this from possibilities, but they will have one set plan. I think the DLC will either very specifically wrap up some kind of thread that they want done in this, which might be bring Cindy into it, establishing her as a character beyond seeing the back of her head and having a name that we recognize from the comics, whether it's finishing Carnage, whether it's, I don't think they would set up Chameleon to just do it in a DLC. I think that would then branch into something else, hopefully, if they're just going to do one. So I don't think DLC disqualifies from a 2.5 game, but I think if that happens, they would need to lead into it. So if they announce at the Game Awards that they're doing, the DLC comes out in February, that's maybe the timeline that they could do, and it's Carnage, then I don't think we get a 2.5, because I don't then see that fitting. If they do a DLC and they say, and it's going to be based around Cindy, then I think, maybe. I think the two will need to feed into each other, because I don't think you would do both unless you needed to do both to get to a third. Because I think with the first game, they hoped to make a sequel. They were setting some things up. With this one, they know they're making a sequel. There's no like, oh, if we do another one, we'll do this. Or here's a little like teaser, like, oh, Miles has got powers at the end of the last one. This is, no. In the next game, we're going to be doing Green Goblin, Doc Ock's coming back, Carnage is back, got a new character coming into it, get used to it, we're here for a while.
Ewan, where do you see us going for the next, because you presume this is the next 3 or 4 years of Insomniac's output?
I mean, the next week at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I think DLC, probably Chameleon, and then maybe two 2.5s, which in my opinion would probably be Miles and Venom Carnage, and then you get Marvel Spider-Man 3. But then at a certain point, I feel like they're just teasing so many things, man. Like, we haven't even touched on the fact that they're clearly kind of leaning towards Superior Spider-Man. Like, that's, I feel like that's going to happen at some point. The Spider-Verse, the Silk, there is an almost overwhelming amount of directions they can go in. And honestly, trying to sort of divine what route they're going to take is, I mean, it's enormous fun as a Spider-Man fan, but who can say with certainty what they're going to do? Because we sort of talked about this a little bit on the last podcast. I would be happy if they just released a bunch of story expansions for Marvel Spider-Man 2. For the next couple of years while we wait for Marvel Spider-Man 3. I don't necessarily think they need to release like a 2.5. I don't think there's any need that New York is there and it's as good as it could possibly be. Just sort of flesh that out with some more expansions. If it was up to me, that's what I'd do.
Let me go to the motherfucking Statue of Liberty. I swear to God, if we do these DLCs and these 2.5 games and they don't let me go to the Statue of Liberty.
Didn't the director also say recently, talking about Venom, he was like, we're going to listen to the fans. I think they've done so many different things at the end and then they've not made a decision on what's going to be what scale. Like we're saying, like, Carnage could be DLC, could be a separate game. I think they've just got all these things and they'll go, we'll figure out what to do with them down the line.
But they've set the board up in such a way that they can do that.
Yeah. I really actually like the idea of like decently sized expansions over the next couple of years that maybe deal, maybe one of them is like Silk and Silk's got new powers and you're in the same New York, but it's a new story. And I could see them doing that actually, because it would be, again, Miles Morales leveraged what they'd already built to make something new. Mm. Keep doing that. But then I suppose that also means they have to have, if they're doing it as expansions, you have to have the base game, but then they can package it all together and be like, get the big edition and, you know, they'll figure something out. They're going to release more at some point.
Yeah. I also think there's like big chunks of the map that didn't really use, like for as nice as that New York is, like there's plenty of areas that just didn't get covered by missions or things like that. Here's the thing though, at the end of Wolverine, when we were here doing this same podcast, are we sitting there going, I can't believe they teased Cyclops, I can't believe they teased the rest of the X-Men, like...
Absolutely not. There's no fucking
Insomniac's going to split into 50 different studios to try and keep up with all
the
of this.
The tease at the end of Wolverine will be that it's in the same universe as Spider-Man. I bet. They'll just be like, oh, don't worry. And it'll be like, oh, Sabretooth's in it. And everyone's like, everyone loves Sabretooth. not that they can't do a sequel to Wolverine, but I feel like it's going to be more insular, but they'll just say it's in the same universe or something.
Yeah, he'll be watching a TV and it'll be like, oh, there he is. Like, P.T. Parker. If I was a betting man, I would honestly say that I think the odds of individual DLC aren't massively high, just because they haven't really spoken about it. But in the same breath, like, maybe that fills that's the late 2024 stuff. They do some of these side stories, wrap bits and pieces up, because I don't think Insomniac's announcing and releasing another game before Wolverine gets out the door.
Yeah.
Which would just be absurd. And Wolverine seems to be like an early 25 or absolute back end of 24 game. So like it feels like we're going that way. Final question for the esteemed panel. I'll start with you, Will. Is Spider-Man 3 a PlayStation 6 game?
Oh, good lord. Now you've really got us thinking. Either a PlayStation 6 or like 5 and 6, and it comes out at the end of 5, because the life cycle of consoles these days is what, like 7 or 8 years, and we're 3 years into the PS5.
Yeah,
I could.
It feels like we've been with it for about 2 minutes because of the pandemic, but it'll be 3 years and a month.
Bloody yeah, maybe if Sony would definitely strike me as the type of company where if it's getting close and it would come out a year before the PS6, they'd be like, hold it off and we'll sell the PS6 with the game. I can see them doing that. I suppose it just depends when they have it ready and when the PS6 is ready and whatever. But potentially, yeah. Could easily see it happening.
Stacey, PlayStation 6, Spider-Man 3?
I think, this is away from Spider-Man a little bit, but I think with the delay of the pandemic and with the fact that Xbox is moving heavily towards subscriptions and Sony is really, really pushing live service games, I think this generation is just a little bit longer than previous ones have been. So I think especially if they just go into it rather than Wolverine and then a 2.5, then a second 2.5 about Venom, and then they do a Fantastic Four game, and then they do a Wolverine 2.5, and then they do Spider-Man 3. I think if they do on the path that we've been talking about, I think it just makes it
very PS5. Right at the end, like Last of Us Part 2 on PS4, like the big
Goes to Tsushima, big, like this is the power of the PS5 for the
it's
last time.
It's on its knees. It couldn't be hotter. If you even look at it, your
wingsuit can go 3 times faster now.
Laura, that sound right to you, or are you thinking it'll be on the big shiny PS6?
Yeah, thinking about this, we unofficially know from those leaked FTC documents that at least at one point Xbox was picturing their next generation console coming out in 2027. Yeah. That might have been delayed by like the pandemic and the slow start to this console gen, but let's say 2027 is when, you know, Xbox and PlayStation both try and hit that next generation. I feel like that could well put Spider-Man 3 as has been said before, end of last generation, start of new generation. I think it's that cross generation, play it here for 8K, 120 FPS or whatever, but it also works here on your PS5, that kind of a thing.
Ewan?
I mean, the notion that the next generation of consoles is like 4 years away makes me want to weep.
Think how big it's going to be.
Horrifying. I think that I agree with Stacey that I think there'll be a little bit more time. This gen will have a little bit more of a life to it, and the PS5 will have its curtain call with Spider-Man 3. And then obviously you'll have the inevitable Marvel Spider-Man 3 remastered for PS6 when that launches.
Yeah, I think that seems just about right to me. Marvel Spider-Man 3 and The Last of Us Part 3 coming 2027. You heard it here first. Credit that to VGC when it's reported around the world. Thank you very much for joining us, folks. This was great fun. I love a game like this where you can have a big long conversation during the review, but the amount of people that message me about our podcast being like, it feels like you are being held hostage because you're all like, I want to talk about this, I want to talk about this. But that is the glory of Insomniac's Marvel's Spider-Man, Sony's PlayStation's Insomniac's Marvel's Spider-Man 2. We will be back with the normal podcast next week. Until then, you can find Ewan at Gaming Bible, you can find Stacey at The Gamer, you can find Laura at Accessibility, and Will at PC Games. And until then, say goodbye, Will.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Stacey. Say goodbye, Ewan.
Goodbye, Stacey.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Laura.
Hi.
We'll see you next time.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.